Hey, everybody. If you're a child, you can come on up front. We're going to do things a little bit different today. Doing things different. That's our motto. Sometimes it's because we can't remember how we did it last time. You grew hair on your finger?
Yes, apparently so.
I'm going to not chase that rabbit. You going to chase that rabbit? Rabbits are hard to catch, buddy. You got to watch out.
What time I ate rabbit for dinner?
What?
No. What? What?
Tastes like chicken. Don't worry.
Tastes like chicken.
All right. I'm going to read you all the scripture. Maya is not feeling very well today, so we need to keep her in our prayers, but in the meantime, everybody is silly. That's true. I think that was our Easter message, wasn't it? It's okay to be silly. So I'm going to read you the scripture that Maya was going to read, okay? This is from the book of Acts, which is what happens after Jesus went back up into heaven. Now, during those days when the disciples were growing, the Hellenists complained against the Hebrews, because their widows were being neglected in daily distribution of food. What's that mean?
The widows didn't get enough food.
The widows didn't get enough food. How many of you have ever felt left out?
I felt left out of
that. Have you ever felt left out of something? Like you wanted to do it, but you couldn't do it. Maybe your parents said no, or maybe you didn't get invited.
Or you weren't old enough.
You weren't old enough. For laser tag, you're not tall enough to ride the best roller coasters, right?
Oh, I'm not tall enough.
We're too scared to ride them.
I'm not.
Sometimes you are not tall enough to see Guardians of the Galaxy. That is true. I've noticed movie theaters have started putting a height regulation. All right, so listen. There was a group of people who felt left out, okay? That's what the problem was. And so they felt left out, and they were not people who really got put in very often. So they felt left out. So what they did is the 12 disciples got together and they said, it's not right that we should stop preaching the word of God so that we can wait tables. But friends, let's pick some good people. At this point, it was men, 7 of them who were full of the Spirit and wisdom to take care of those who feel left out. And we'll keep praying and spreading the word of God. And you know what? How do you think everybody felt about that?
Happy, good.
They were about to pick people to make sure everybody got taken care of.
I don't know.
Well, then, if you don't know, don't answer. That's a real secret of life right there. One your dad has not yet learned yet, Quinn. So what they said about picking people to take care of the people who were being left out made everybody happy. And so they chose Stephen. Stephen.
Steve.
Just one Steve. And then he was full of the Holy Spirit. We're going to read about Stephen later if you stay in worship, by the way. So pay attention to that one. They read about Stephen. And then they picked a bunch of other people whose names not Steve. You want to hear what they were? They're pretty funny names. You got Philip. You got Prochorus, which that's when the amateurs stop playing. You got Nicanor, which is also something that helps you stop smoking. You got Timon, which is from The Lion King. You got Parmenas, which is a margarine spread. And Nicholas. What's up, bro? So these guys stood up, and everybody prayed and laid hands on them. And because of that, the word of God and the love of God spread, and the church grew. That's pretty cool, huh? It's not because, you know why the church grew? It's silly. You know what? It is kind of silly that we take time to make sure everybody gets included. But I'm going to tell you something. In a few minutes, we're going to have a service of ordination for one of our deacons. And this is the story about how the first deacons came to be. Did you know at this church, we have men and women who make sure that they do their best to make sure nobody gets left out?
Yes.
Yeah. Sometimes they come over and pressure wash your driveway.
Yep.
Sometimes they take you food when you're sick. Sometimes they visit you in the hospital. Sometimes they just call and say, hey, what's going on? Because you know what we believe as followers of Jesus? Who should get left out?
Nobody.
Nobody. So you know what? We can be a part of that too, to make sure nobody gets left out. You think you could do that?
Yes. I don't know what I just did.
You feel like, you guys, do you think you could be people who help make sure nobody gets left out?
Yes.
What about if you're like at school and there's a friend who is by themselves?
Sit by them.
You could sit with them. What if they're, play with them. You know, play is at recess. So you guys get this, right? So you guys get this, right? Yeah, you're into it, I can tell. Let's pray. Dear God. Okay, y'all repeat after me. Let's try it again.
Okay.
Dear God.
Dear God.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For people.
For people.
Who take care of us.
Who take care of us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
For giving us.
Giving us.
Times. To take care of others.
Take care of others.
In the name of the Father.
In the name of the Father.
The Son.
The Son.
And the Holy Spirit, we pray.
And the Holy Spirit, we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. Amen is also acceptable. Amen is, okay, y'all can stop repeating. Good. Y'all go where you need to go. General life advice again. As Calvin is getting a chair put down, I'm going to ask Kim to come on forward for a moment. We're going to enter into a time of ordination for Kim Hyden. At Cross Creek, we have a long history of a diverse diaconate, which just means, that's a real fancy way of saying, we don't believe that we get to pick who God calls to serve. God gets to pick, and all we can do is recognize those who are serving. Our system is that people who come on to the deacon board, the diaconate, serve 1 year as a trial year to make sure they want to continue, to make sure that they understand what they've gotten themselves into. Because being a deacon is not easy. If you think about this story from Acts, deacons came into being in the middle of crisis. That's how they came to be. People were upset, and the apostles said, we should get somebody to deal with that who is not us. Pastors have been doing that ever since, by the way. It is difficult to hold unity in a body as diverse as Cross Creek. It is difficult to make sure that the needs of everyone and not just a few are being met. But that is what we ask our deacons to do. One of the things I love is they have no administrative function in the church. They don't run the church business. They are here to take care of us. Kim has been remarkable in that. Even before she was a deacon, we recognized the gifts of the calling in her. She has cared for those around her. She has cared for me and my family. Her heart is tender. Her actions swift when they need to be. Her anger slow. She has exemplified in the course of her year and in the course of the time since then and in the course of her life to that moment what it means to serve, to make sure that none get left out, so that the love of God may be spread. You were the church who called her to be a deacon. And so in this moment, we're going to open up a time of the laying on of hands. Because you have called her, and now you will help us to recognize and make official and consecrate the calling God has put on her life. So I will open us in a word of prayer, and then any who feel led, member or non-member, who understand and want to encourage her as she continues on in her role, are invited to come forward, to place a hand on her, to offer a word of prayer, to tell her that you believe in her, because I know she believes in you. Would you pray with me? For the gift of saints who go before us, we give you thanks, O God. For those who walk alongside us and show us the places where we might stumble, we give you thanks. I thank you for Kim. I thank you for the service she has given and will continue to give, not because she wants anything from it, but simply because she loves others and loves you because you love her. May you make this moment special. May you help her to take to heart the encouraging words and prayers spoken to her, that when she finds herself in the desert of her soul, she sees oases that have been spoken to her by the people who have called her. It's in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit we pray. Amen. King, about what would be the most appropriate sermon topic for a service in which we ordained a deacon and were on our way to celebrate the baptism of someone publicly professing their faith, I thought, hey, that part where Stephen dies in the Bible, probably the best. I love serving a church where I can name a sermon, everybody must get stoned. Pam approved that one, by the way. I ran it by her. It is honestly appropriate, because today we celebrate someone who has been a member of our church and been a part of the faith, but is entering into that in a new way in Anna Ferry. And we celebrate, I won't say a long obedience, because I don't want to indicate age, but a long obedience for Kim in the same direction. And it's important in the midst of celebrating kind of this newness and this obedience that we talk about the fact that everybody must get stoned. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, you have to pick up your Easter basket. No, wait, that wasn't right. If you want to follow me, make sure you get in your Mercedes. No, wait. Oh, for me, it's Land Rovers. Jesus clearly, if y'all know, wants me to have a Land Rover. We just haven't worked out yet what model. No, wait. Jesus said, if you want to follow me, pick up your cross. He didn't sugarcoat much. It's clear Stephen's in that mold. He obviously was unfamiliar with how to win friends and influence people. Carnegie, not high on his reading list. Because what happens is amazing. We talk about the call of deacons. And I'm kidding about the apostles, but only marginally. They don't want to get in the midst of this fighting that's going on in the early church. And so they pick seven people to take care of the fighting so that they can continue on in prayer and administering the word. That's great. That's a model of the kingdom of God and the body of Christ where we all have different jobs. But as we read that story, we might think, well, you know, we know the apostles because they're out preaching and proclaiming. We know that they're going to come into confrontation with the world and the world is going to kill them and they're going to follow Jesus that way. But then the very next story is not about the apostles. It's about the first named deacon. It's about not some person who had been walking with Jesus all this time. It's about a person who exemplified service to those who had been left out. Exemplified service in such a way that it rankled the powers that be. They got upset because God was with him, working and speaking truth and making sure that the ostracization that had worked in their system forever was no more. Hebrews and Hellenists alike had a place at the table of the Lord. When we work and exist in societies that are built on exclusion and favoritism, when we step into those systems and say, no, everybody has a place at the table, people will be upset. Whether you are a preacher, an apostle, a deacon, or just a follower of the way of Jesus trying to make a difference in the world. When you speak truth to power, people do not like it. So, just like Jesus, they manipulate the situation to their own advantage. They get people together and they say, let's say this thing about Stephen. And so they say that thing, and then they grab him and they arrest him. And they say he has really been hating on Moses. And as long as that reading was, we skipped a large portion, because what Stephen does is rhetorically brilliant. He traces the history of Israel through Moses to Jesus. He says, this thing you've accused me of is wrong. In fact, let me tell you about Moses. Well, first of all, when people accuse you of something and you literally turn the tables on them, well, figuratively, there might have been tables involved, I don't know. But when you come to them and you say, hey, remember that thing you said? Well, the exact opposite. Well, that's enough to upset people to begin with. But then when you go on to say something like, you stiff-necked idiots. I think that was what he said, right? You're just the same as everyone who's been ignoring God from the beginning. And then the most horrible line in the whole story is that as he is proclaiming this glorious truth and tells them the reality of their situation, they cover their ears while he is revealing God to them. So, there's a couple of things we need to say about that, albeit briefly. The first is that we better make sure we are not covering our ears. Because we still exist in systems where we like to listen to the people who have historically been in power, particularly if we are the ones who have historically been in power. And so when someone from the outside of our system who is different than us and might even have different ideas, how dare they, starts to speak that God may be moving in a way that we have not anticipated, we have to make sure we don't cover our ears. When we go to the Y in a minute, we're going to have this moment where, in the midst of baptism, we commit as a church to do a couple of things. And I was very intentional about the wording of what we say. We're going to commit to guide Anna as she grows in the faith, to help her see the way forward, and we're going to commit to being led by her when God speaks through her. Because that's how God works. New voices in the community of faith speaking truth that we were blind to until someone said, hey, look what God is doing. So we better make sure our eyes and ears and hearts are opened. The second is this. If we are open-eyed and open-eared and open-hearted in this life, we will get stoned. It may not be physically. I hope it's not. But we will be persecuted. And it won't be a war on Christmas, okay? It'll be people who don't want to hear the love of God pouring through you. There's hope, though. Stephen's story is so profoundly beautiful because in the midst of his death, he sees God, and that is reserved for a very few people in Scripture. In the midst of his death, this one with the face of an angel who would not back away from the truth of love sees this beatific vision. He sees, as they sing, how great thou art. And when seeing how great God is, he echoes Jesus, Father, forgive them. It's important as we celebrate milestones in the faith that we lean in to the idea that the road in front of us is not smooth. It's lined with the stones that have been thrown at those who've gone before us and will be picked up again and thrown at us. But if our eyes are in the right place, we will see God. Amen.